Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There's only one right way to live life, and that's God's way. He's the author, the creator, and the designer. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study how to overcome 10 of life's greatest challenges. That's next on Daily in the Word. Stay with us. God designed and created life. He knew what our struggles would be, and He knew how desperately we would need Him as our Savior. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study how to overcome life's greatest challenges. We're looking at Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to study the Ten Commandments. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday. We hope you'll join us for every step of this series. If you have missed a portion of this series or would like to hear recent broadcasts, don't forget you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You can also subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you on your phone or iPod or personal computer. Once again, you can find all of this and much, much more at dailyintheword.org. Today we look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, keeping family honor.
The Ten Commandments have been a great priority for successful families and for great nations for many centuries. This particular commandment, the fifth commandment, speaking about family honor, is the only commandment with a promise directly related to it. God not only gives the commandment, but He promises the blessing of longevity in association with this particular promise. I believe one reason God attaches a promise to this is because God wants us to know how important this commandment is to Him. He wants us to recognize that the basics of authority, the basic understanding of authority, begins in the home. And when a home understands authority, when children understand God's authority, there will be an impact in the society, in the nation, and in the world. Now, it's easy to talk about honoring our parents. It's easy to talk about loving people in the abstract. But when you start getting specific and say, honor your parents, honor your father, honor your mother, all of a sudden people begin to feel a little funny about that. Sometimes people say, well, you don't know what my father did to me. You don't know what my mother did to me. You don't understand. My father was abusive. My father was in prison. My mother left us when I was young for another man. And all kinds of feelings come into the heart when we read God's simple commandment. But I want to remind you this morning that God's word is always right. And we're not to put our personal paradigm over on top of God's word. We're to set our objections to the side and say, Lord, speak to me today. And God says, I want you to honor your parents, honor your family. Now, this commandment was clearly etched in the Jewish mind. I believe it was clearly etched in the mind of our founding fathers in this great nation. It is a commandment that is sorely needed again in our great nation. Honor your father and your mother. I read this past week the story of a 16-year-old boy who wanted nothing more than to be a sailor. That was his dream. One day his mother walked with him down to the dock. He was getting ready to go off on his journey as a sailor. As they were standing there at the dock, his mother said to him, Son, I don't think you should be a sailor. I can't get a peace about it. I don't want you to go off and be a sailor. The young man turned to his friends who were with him and said, my mother does not want me to go. I must respect my mother. I must obey my mother. I'm not going to go with you. And he turned around quietly and in a spirit of submission, he honored and obeyed his mother. He went back to his home. He never became the captain of a great ship. But one day he did become the commander of the entire Navy, for his name was George Washington, the first president of the United States of America. I can't explain everything I believe about it, but I believe God has a special way of honoring people who honor their parents and who have honor within their family unit. Now let's delve into this morning. Notice if you would, first of all, the principle of giving honor. The principle that is found in the Bible of giving honor. And may I say, we as Americans don't do very well with it. Over in the Oriental cultures and in the countries where I have lived and visited in the Orient, it is very common to give respect and honor to someone that is elderly, to someone that is educated, to someone that is a part of the family, to someone that is in a position of authority. It is respectful, it is honoring to them to pay attention to them and to give them time. But this principle of giving honor is somewhat of a lost art in the land in which we live. It's not something that Americans seem to obey from the heart. Now let's consider the importance of it. First of all, notice the principle of first relationship. The principle of first relationship as is taught here in the Word of God. Honor thy father and mother. These are the first people that God puts into our lives. Very basic, but very true. The first relationship. Many studies tell us that personalities, behavioral patterns, and relational styles are developed in the life of a young person by age 6. Let me say, moms and dads with young children, you're not doing the little stuff now and the big stuff later. You're doing big stuff right now. This matter of teaching your children how to respect authority, how to obey mom, how to obey dad, how to love the Bible, how to go to church, how to forgive, how to be patient, those basic things are taught at a very early age. And if you saw parental authority used well in your life and in your home, then you will have an instinctive respect for people in authority. It's something that is inbred in the life of a person who learns at a young age to honor their mother, to honor their father. There will be a following of that in your life throughout your years. We would see today in this principle of first relation many correlations from the early developmental training of a young person in that which would follow them down through the years of their life. If you experience difficulty, abuse, or trials, you may be somewhat suspicious of authority in your life. But I say this, a culture will not survive long when respect for authority breaks down in the home. When a home is crumbling, when the homes of a nation crumble, then respect for authority crumbles across all lines. You see, God designed the home to be the strongest influence on our future heritage. He designed the family to be the strongest influence on the future of this community. Now listen, there are many concerns and many ways we can be involved. Every one of us should vote. Every one of us should have our voices heard. We should be involved in making this a better community. We should be involved in making our country a better country. But you have no greater contribution to the future of this country than when you train up a child in the way he should go. Than when you spend time nurturing and helping a young person, and especially your young person. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs 1 and verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. God says, when it comes to this first relationship, I want you to give it attention. I want you to give honor and respect to your parents. Oh, we could go on all morning with statistics. The vast majority of men in California State Penitentiary today were raised with no father. And the crumbling of the family is showing its effects in our nation today. And we need men and women who would live honorably and children who would give honor. And so the principle of first relation is very basic, but very, very needed in our understanding today. Notice, secondly, the principle of displaying honor. The Bible says in verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, the word honor means to give weight to or to regard as heavy. In other words, God says, don't take the word of your parents lightly. Don't brush it off like it's nothing, but to give entrance to their word and to let it have a weightiness in your heart. Now, how can we honor our parents? And I want to speak today to children and to young adults as well as to grown adults. How can we, in this day in which we live, honor our parents? First of all, young children show honor through obedience. A young child must honor their parents through obedience. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, a lot of the young children are not here right now. They're in Sunday school. So moms and dads, there you go. There's your family devotions tomorrow morning. Open it up and read it to them. Read the Bible to them. Show them what the Bible says. Obey your parents. You know who modeled this the best? Jesus did. In Luke 2 and verse 51, the Bible says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Now here we see that Jesus was in subjection as an earthly child. And God is looking today for children who will simply be taught and who will simply obey their parents. And may I say this, a child or a teenager's attitude in obedience is as important as the action of obedience. His attitude and respect should show honor towards his parents. You see, our parents are the first and most important line of God-given authority in our lives. And teenagers, if we do not learn to properly respond to them, we will not likely respond well to other authorities in our life. I've spent 25 years of my life working with Christian schools and churches and traveling across America teaching teenagers and preaching to teenagers in different settings. And I've learned that when there's trouble with a young person at school or at church, not always, but many, many times, there's trouble at home with that same person. Look, they don't just get sassy with the algebra teacher. They've been getting sassy with mommy first. And yet, if they have learned in that home to honor authority, they are much more likely to honor the LA County Sheriff's officer. They are much more likely to honor the person in authority where they work. Why? Because they have been taught to obey from a very early age, you see. We should be as concerned with the attitude of our children as we are with their compliance for a project. That means sometimes, if you say, son, take out the garbage, and he goes, ah! You may have to say, son, come here. Don't roll your eyes when I tell you to do something. And we need to obey from the heart, okay? We need to do what God wants us to do with the right spirit. That's why as a pastor over these many years, oftentimes I'll go up to someone in the church and I'll say, is everything okay? Are you doing all right? Because I know the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. But when we get in the flesh, when we get ticked off about something, all of a sudden that joy leaves and the first place we notice it is on the face. By the way, try preaching to this. It's tough. You don't have to be a real smart pastor to go up and say, I perceive we have a little problem with our spirit. See, my desire as a pastor is not just that you'll obey the Ten Commandments, but that you'll obey it from a heart of love for God. And I don't want my children, and you don't want your children, just making the bed, but we want them to learn how to obey with the right spirit. Proverbs 30:17 says, the eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out. Now, teenagers, look up here. With as many ravens as we have in Lancaster, you ought to start obeying your parents. Say, well, what's God talking about here? God's saying, look, I'm not going to mess around with a teenager that shames his mother and shames his father. There's going to be a consequence to those who deny what their parents say. So children, obey your parents, okay? Secondly, adolescents or young adults, how can they honor their parents? An adolescent or a young adult can honor their parents by helping around the house, by being involved and contributing to family life. Look at 16, 18, 20-year-olds, you don't walk straight home, don't say hi to your mother, don't say hi to your father, don't see if anything needs to be done, and go straight into your room and shut the door and watch TV and watch your computer. In fact, this is not in the Bible, this is just my opinion. I don't think teenagers need a TV in their room. If they have a computer, it needs to be so rigged and guarded that all they can access is an encyclopedia, and even that has to be guarded. But I'm just simply saying, a teenager, a young adult needs to learn how to get involved with the family and how to say, "Mom, can I help do some dishes? Hey, you're living under their roof. They're paying for your food. You don't need to be told to take the trash out anymore. You volunteer." I'm going to give you a verse today if you're 16 to 22 and living at home, maybe 49 living at home. I don't know, but I'm going to give you a verse. You just apply it. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Let's say that together. Do all things without. Son, straighten up your room. Yes, ma'am. I mean, we don't negotiate it, manipulate it. Oh, you ask so much of me. Just without murmuring. You know what? When a son or a daughter complies to the parent, they're honoring their parent. They're honoring. It's so embarrassing when a teenager argues with their parent in front of other people because they're dishonoring their parent publicly. It's not just disobedience, it's dishonor. It's saying, "I don't think much of you." And God says, honor your father and your mother. Now, if you're still living at home, you ought to take Philippians 2:14 to heart. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. I heard about a mom named Michelle. She walked into her son's makeshift weight room. He was pumping iron, man, he was pumping it and pumping it. After a while, he got up to his highest weight. His mom walked over and said, Son, "I just don't understand. Why can you bench press nearly 200 pounds and you can't pick up your clothes?" It's not a matter of strength, it's a matter of heart. See, a lot of guys can jam a basketball who have absolutely no character at all because they don't honor their parents. Young children honor their parents by obeying their parents. Adolescents honor their parents by getting involved with a good attitude. But what about grown adults? How do we honor our parents? Well, we honor our parents by remembering them. And I'm going to tell you, there's no greater example of that than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ, suspended between heaven and earth, on the cross of Calvary, the Roman soldiers have placed the nails in his hands and in his feet. He is there not just bearing the pain of the cross, but he is there bearing the sins of the world in his body. The Roman soldier thrust the spear in his side. The vinegar has been thrust into his mouth. And from the cross of Calvary, Jesus looks down. And in John 19:26, it says, "When he saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' And then he saith to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home." Even as Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, he honored his mother. He remembered her. And I believe as adult children, we need to honor our parents. How do you do that? How about calling them? I mean, just calling. "Hey, how you doing?" For no reason. How about taking them somewhere on a trip with you? Someone says, "All right, I'll take them to McDonald's." Well, that might be a start. How about sending flowers on a birthday or a card? How about just something thoughtful to be a blessing to your parent? I recently heard a pastor speaking, and he told about how his father had died recently. And he said, "I went to my home place, and my mother and I walked into his office. And when we walked into the office," he said, "it was a disheveled mess at the top of his desk." He said, "just like it always was, stuff was everywhere, books, papers, everywhere." He said, "but I opened up the middle drawer of that desk. And inside the middle drawer of that desk, wrapped in rubber bands, were all the notes that I had sent to my father for the past 10 years of my life and his." He said notes that said things like, "Dad, thanks for being a great dad. And Dad, I hope you have a wonderful birthday. Thanks for all you've done for me. Dad, I just wanted you to know I was thinking about you today and that I loved you. Dad, thanks for all you've done." Everything else was a disheveled mess. But neatly in the center of that drawer, wrapped in rubber bands, were the notes that his son had sent to him. I'm telling you, thoughtfulness goes a long way with parents. I was at an airport the other day, and I was talking to a fellow waiting for a flight. I suppose he was 80, in his 80s. And I said to him, I said, "You look sharp today." And I gave him a gospel tract. He said, "Thank you." He said, "My son's a Christian." He said, "He gave me this shirt." He was proud of that shirt. Why? It represented the thoughts of a grown child. The principle of giving honor to our parents is a lost principle in America, and it needs to be revived amongst our Christian families once again. Now let's go to the second thought, and that would be the problems of showing honor. Sometimes people hear a message like this and they go, "Well, that's fine for you. You probably had a perfect home, and your wife probably had a perfect home, and you just don't understand what I've been through." Let me just start by saying this. There is no such thing as a perfect home if there's people living there. Okay? I always get tickled with people saying, "Well, I'm just going to find another church, blah, blah, that's better." And I always like to say, "Well, you know, there's no perfect church, and the minute you walk in there, it's going to prove that point." Because the minute there's a person in a church, it's not a perfect church. Any of us, we're not perfect. So don't compare your family to someone else's family. Now, what are some of the problems we have with showing honor? Letter A, when parents' actions are wrong. Boy, when a parent has been abusive, when a parent has been absent, when a parent has been excessively angry, it makes it a little tougher. That's why, moms and dads, this message goes both ways. It's not just a message saying to the children, honor your parents. It's a message saying to us as parents, live honorably. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. And we must give a godly example to our children so that they will want to honor us. But sometimes parents' actions are wrong. But I want to say this, God is a sovereign, holy God, and He loves you, and He makes no mistakes. And the fact of the matter is, you may have difficulties with your parents, even as a grown child. You may have parents who disagree with your faith. I mean, you would think they would be thrilled you bring your children to Sunday school, but maybe it convicts them. Maybe they just don't like it, and maybe they don't encourage your faith. You may have had parents who break their word. You may have parents who think nothing of going to Las Vegas and spending $2,000 gambling, but they think you're nuts to give to the church. You may have parents who have had a moral failure, or who have left you, or who have broken your heart. The stories in the press in the past few weeks have been beyond my comprehension. Family member upon family member killing and maiming one another. And yes, there are difficulties. There were difficult families in the Bible. I think about one father by the name of Saul. He was a man with wild mood swings. He was a man who got angry in a quick moment. And he had a son named Jonathan, who remained a great and godly man in his life, despite having an angry father. In fact, 1 Samuel 20:33 says, "And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him." How many of you would say, if a father throws a spear at his son, he has a little anger problem? Saul had an anger problem, but Jonathan had a sweet spirit. I'm just saying, it's possible, even when there's been a problem in the home, to keep a sweet spirit. Let me tell you how to do that, two quick ways. First of all, remember to forgive your parents.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying a series entitled Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. It's a verse-by-verse study of the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. Friend, the most overarching truth of this study is that apart from God, we cannot overcome these struggles. These laws are impossible for us to keep in and of ourselves, which is why we so desperately need Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.